This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're glad you joined us once again in the practice of the involvement of the entirety of your human conceptual self into the certainty of who you really are, the Christ as we represent it, that is actually present with you at this precise moment. Okay. Lesson 152 of this course that we're going to attempt now is going to show you that the decision to be who you want to be is yours to make. Okay. This Course in Miracles is a course in mind training that allows you to change your mind about who you think you are. Obviously, who you think you are is who you will believe you are, and you will operate on that premise and be contained in this little frame of correspondence of light that tells you that you're a body and tells you that you have to occupy that body, that tells you you have to define your body as what you are. You listen to me. If you define your body as what you are, your body cannot not give you back a definition of your existent association with it. Now, you're going to have to suffer all of the consequences of your fleshy concern, the idea that you could be a carbon life or oxygen, that you need a heart that must pump, that you need a breathing apparatus that's going to show you the containment of how you define yourself. You are somewhere within an episode of what you would call the cyclical arrangement of your determination to justify the separation at a moment where I am looking at you within your own perspective and telling you that the body that you think you are is not who you are. It has already been resurrected. You are already in entirety of a new covenant that represented to you the entirety that all of your pain and death and loneliness was not a part of the wholeness that is represented by your creative source. So, this lesson says that the decision is yours. And we're going to go back just a moment and read to you how the text of this Course in Miracles from our Savior Jesus represents an alternative that is available to you at this time and place. Listen. You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false, for what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines and will determine all that you see and think is real and hold is true. On this one choice does all your world depend, for here have you established what you are, as flesh or spirit, in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to do what? To heal and to comfort and to bless. Listen, salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation, of unrelated things and happenings that make no sense at all. This one appears and disappears in death. That one is doomed to suffering and loss. And no one is exactly as he was an instant previous, nor will he be the same as he is now an instant hence. Who could have trust when so much change is seen? For who is worthy if he be but dust? Salvation is undoing of all of this, for constancy arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking at the cost of keeping guilt because they chose to let it go instead. Salvation does not ask that you behold the spirit and perceive the body not. It merely asks that this should be your choice, for you can see the body without help, but you do not understand how to behold a world apart from it. It is your world salvation will undo and let you see another world your eyes could never find. Be not concerned how this could ever be. You do not understand how what you see arose to meet your sight, for if you did, it would be gone. The veil of ignorance is drawn across the evil and the good, and must be passed that both may disappear, so that perception finds no hiding place. How is this done? It is not done at all. What could there be within the universe that God created that must still be done? You who believe that you can choose to see the Son of God as you would have him be, forget not that no concept of yourself will stand against the truth of what you are. Undoing truth would be impossible, but concepts are not difficult to change. One vision clearly seen that does not fit the picture as it was perceived before will change the world for eyes that learn to see because the concept of the self has changed. Contained in that chapter 31 of the text, for many of us who have been mindful of the necessity of making sense, okay, out of our apparent separation, is a singular philosophy that will astound you in its simplicity if you let it. It contains the fundamental admission that eternity, something that is forever, without regard to alternatives, cannot know of an organization of apparent separation. That is to say, very simply, okay, the reality of God's mind, which is what everything is forever, cannot actually distinguish between the two yous. Now, the reason, and this is going to be the lesson we're going to attempt to do today, within the illusion of time. The reason that it cannot distinguish is because, in a literal sense, it is the source of everything. So it cannot conceive, because it is not a conceptual association, of the idea of separation. The idea of separation is contained only within you. So that the factoring of your conceptual mind is always meeting alternatives that justify the continuation of your body, or a moment when the complete alternative within time was available to you. Now, you can call that the Holy Spirit, or a phantom figure of Christ, or Jesus standing next to you, or your momentary recognition of that moment of the truth of our body association. Now, since I went through my illumination, I cannot see you as a body. I see you only as a continuing refactoring based on my recognition of myself. This is the procedure of this offering that you have accepted in its most fundamental sense in this idea of Course in Miracles, that at any instant you can change your mind entirely about who you are. And then that moment, just for that moment in that resurrected body, you will represent the entirety of the alternative and then disappear. All right? Can you see how that works? See, you're always threatened in a particular way by your own whole self. If I threaten you with your whole mind, all right, you withdraw into the defenses of yourself in association with that body form. My Savior Jesus would say, you're afraid of the light. Yet as you begin to recognize the light within you, all right, the single eye of the certainty of who you are, your body will undergo a transfiguration, a reassociation of light. Okay, your body will be the light of the recognition of the Christ body, which will last for just a moment. So let's take a look together now at lesson 152, which is going to tell you, as I see you right there, that the decision is yours to make. Okay? Now, share it with me, will you? Because it's very important to you now. You have begun to recognize the true alternative of what you are. Okay? Listen. Here's the whole truth of the matter. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick, unless these are the outcomes that he wants. Are you listening? And no one dies without his own consent. Nothing occurs but represents your wish, and nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world complete in all detail. Here is its whole reality for you, and it is only here that salvation is. You may believe that this position is extreme and too inclusive to be true, yet can truth have exceptions? If you have the gift of everything, can loss be real? Can pain be part of peace, or grief of joy? Can fear and sickness enter in a mind where love and perfect holiness abide? Truth must be all-inclusive if it be the truth at all. Accept no opposites and no exceptions, for to do so is to contradict the truth entirely. Salvation is the recognition that the truth is true and nothing else is true. This you have heard before, but may not yet accept both parts of it. Without the first, the second has no meaning. But without the second is the first no longer true. Look at it again. Truth is true and nothing else is true. Truth cannot have an opposite. This cannot be too often said and thought about. For if what is not true is true as well as what is true, then part of truth is false. And truth has lost its meaning. Nothing but the truth is true, and what is false is false. This is the simplest of distinctions, yet the most obscure, but not because it is a difficult distinction to perceive. It is concealed behind a vast array of choices that do not appear to be entirely your own. And thus the truth appears to have some aspects that belie consistency, but do not seem to be but contradictions introduced by you. As God created you, you must remain unchangeable, with transitory states by definition false, and that includes all shifts in feelings, alterations in conditions of the body and the mind, in all awareness and in all response. This is the all-inclusive which sets the truth apart from falsehood, and the false kept separate from the truth as what it is. Listen, is it not strange that you believe to think you made the world you see as arrogance? God made it not. Of this you can be sure. What can he know of the ephemeral, the sinful, and the guilty, the afraid, the suffering, the lonely, and the mind that lives within a body that must die? You but accuse him of insanity to think he made a world where such things seem to have reality. He is not mad, yet only madness makes a world like this. I hope you're still with me. And that appears to the conceptual mind to be a difficult lesson. Fundamentally, it's a declaration of the inevitability of singularity. Okay, will you share this with my mind for a moment? Any reasonable mind, even within a reasoning process, can see the certainty of a single source of reality if it chooses to do so. Can you see that? Truth is true, and nothing else is true. A related idea is that communication must be whole to be real. The idea of objective separation in which terms for truth would be set cannot be true or necessary if only true is true. It's important you see that this is obscured within your objective association with the forms of your conceptual mind, because in a literal sense, you believe that your existence is based on a comparison and verified and justified by change. Yet if truth is true and nothing else is true, no change is possible. So what we offer you in the solution of this mind, of my mind, is the certainty of a constancy of change without your need to define it. Okay? Can you see this? This is a momentary vacation of the illusion of your conceptual mind that is operating on the idea of an objective world that allows you to see at that instant an association of apparent change that is not held together and represented by your old reference of who you are. I hope that some of that would be recognizable to you. Let's try it together. You came here with me. You are representing a conceptual association of yourself that you cannot not believe who you are. Okay, if you have a fundamental belief in an eternal reality or a creator who you identify as God, you cannot not believe that your condition in which you find yourself, he shares your responsibility. And that's where the falsity of you lies. Okay? It is not true that as you represent yourself in this space and time, that God would participate, the entirety of everything that is, would participate in this moment of separation. So the conversion that's going on in your mind at this time is allowing you to employ the power that is inevitable in you, since all power is given unto you in heaven and earth, without the fear of the consequences. It's very important, perhaps, in your sinful association of yourself that you would want to hear this. The simple truth of the matter is you're afraid of the power of your own mind. Okay? From Jesus. All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. Let's try just a little New Testament. What you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. What you bind in your association with yourself, as strange as that may seem to you, will also be bound in heaven, because you are a representation of both earth and heaven. Now, the power of that decision that it's possible for you to make may become more obvious to you and perhaps more fearful to you. Obviously, you're afraid of the power of your own mind. That would have to be true because you are the cause of this world. You brought this world with you when you came, and there isn't anything that's outside of you. The conflict that you are expressing within your conceptual association is a war against yourself. Can you see that with me? All of your conceptual needs to defend yourself are the assurances of your need to attack. No wonder you're afraid to employ the entire power of yourself. You'll kill yourself. Now, fortunately for your conceptual idea about yourself, you can represent death and think you're not dead. So you can suffer the conflict of the misassociations of your own mind by defining other humans as separate from you within your own mind. They now occupy separate spaces in time, and you call them bodies. You call them flesh. You call them mindful identities separate from you, and to any whole mind, it wouldn't make any sense. Everybody you see is offering you solutions in their own separation. You can look indeed at the chaos that this world would have to represent, because very simply, nobody knows who they really are. So if I'm a reflection of your mind, you must be identifying me in the falsity of who you are. Shall I finish here? That cannot not be true, because we apparently are representing ourselves as bodies within an idea of choices that we make individually, of which we have no control. Now, it begins with the fundamental admission that actually you have no control over anything. Okay? That's where your uncertainty comes from. The idea that the conceptual human being actually controls anything is simply not true. There's a lot of New Testament here from my Savior Jesus. He says, trying to distinguish between good and evil is really not going to give you a factor of reality, because good things happen to evil people, and certainly evil things happen to good people. And if you continue to judge your peopleness of association with yourself, the situation is going to remain static and you can never find the solution. Now, what I'm here to tell you through the power of your mind, that the decision mechanism that you are employing to justify who you think you are is what's holding you in the bondage of the extreme limitation that represents the so-called human field of mind identity. You sure look at me. The aggregation of thoughts that represent the fleshy human brain and make decisions contained within the body actually make no sense at all. They may be, in fact, using the single power that represents the entirety of the association, but as long as they're determined to factor within their own context a determination to hold to the idea of the very limited conceptual range of the thought forms of a human being, they cannot not see the alternative that's available to them. What alternative is that? The wholeness of you that's standing right next to you. It's impossible if you formulated a form of yourself in space-time that justifies your conflict, which gives you a great deal of pleasure, incidentally, okay, even though you must suffer pain and death, that there is not a complete alternative in you, since all power is given to you, where you would see the joy and wholeness of that instant of our shared reality. I'm going to have to leave you for just a moment in this continuing lesson of the necessity for your recognition of the truth of what you are. This is lesson 152, which says the power of decision is yours, the power that we are representing together now in that moment of love that we shared can show us the eternal nature of all of the happiness that we find in these moments of chaos. They accumulate in the realization of who we actually are, and we suddenly merge together in this idea of resurrection, and we're gone from here. We're going to be back in just a moment, and we'll complete this lesson 152. It says the power of decision is your own. God is the mind with which you are thinking, and that's why your decision to be whole can be true. We'll see you in just a moment. God goes with us wherever we go. God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're back with you now, showing you the joy of self-realization, the idea that in this Course in Miracles, you can change your mind about who you are, a practice that is necessary for you since the concepts that you hold of yourself have condemned you to a continuing relationship of body identity, which is simply not true. So this lesson, 152 in this Course in Miracles, and I see that that practice has begun to work in you. Is that true? Should we look at that together for just a moment? You have seriously entertained the idea that in this lesson, as we are seeing each other now in our apparent body identities, at every moment there is a complete solution. This will amaze you, won't it? The idea that if you'll accept from me the lesson of the certainty of my self-identity, my certainty of who I am, as contained within the entirety of the particulars, both of my apparent association with this space and time, and my certainty that I am first a part of a parameter of expanding consciousness, that to my happiness and delight shows me a whole new me. That's the recognition of the true you that is actually standing with you right now. And this lesson says that that power of decision is yours to make. Part of the problem with this, as you identify yourself as an ego, is you take a great deal of pride somewhere within your association, in your capacity to combat what seems to be adversity out there in the world. In a literal sense, you believe that your capacity to overcome your own inevitable annihilation should be pridefully looked at, even though the inevitable should be very obvious to you. Now, as long as you believe, okay, in the power of your overcoming of the necessity for you to exist within your own association until you ultimately experience the demise, you cannot see the moment of love that I am offering you now in my certainty that all of your conflict is totally meaningless. Okay, this is the fundamental teachings of my Savior Jesus. Okay, he teaches me very simply that the humble will inherit the earth. That cannot not be so because all of your self-will that you set in your determination to justify the apparent successes that you have within this world cannot not result Okay. And what's about to happen to you and the idea that you have about yourself, the idea that you could get old, that you could represent that body that you're presenting to me as real. You're watching this video with me at this time and in this place. I have made you aware within your own concepts that this is the time and place where you decided that the alternative that has always been available to you would be exercised within your own mind by the momentary release of your self-identity. At that moment, the whole you that had actually been instructing you within your own self, okay, the spirit of your true reality will be more and more available to you because the decision that you discover in the complete alternative will become reasonable to you. I am showing you by a reasoning process that you can make choices, okay, that will be true momentarily in your relationship with the idea that you could be separate. Okay? Let's continue now with the reading of this idea that a totality of choice is possible for you. Lesson 152 in this Course in Miracles. Listen. To think that God made chaos, contradicts his will, invented opposites to truth, and suffers death to triumph over life. All this is arrogance. Humility would see at once these things are not of him. And can you see what God created not? To think you can is merely to believe you can perceive what God willed not to be. And what could be more arrogant than this? Let us today be truly humble and accept what we have made as what it is. The power of decision is our own. Decide but to accept your rightful place as co-creator of the universe, and all you think you made will disappear. What rises to awareness then will be all that there ever was, eternally, as it is now. And it will take the place of self-deceptions made but to usurp the altar to the Father and the Son. Today we practice true humility, abandoning the false pretense by which the ego seeks to prove its arrogance. Only the ego can be arrogant, but truth is humble in acknowledging its mightiness, its changelessness, and its eternal wholeness, all-encompassing. God's perfect gift to his beloved Son. We lay aside the arrogance which says that we are sinners, guilty and afraid, ashamed of what we are, and lift our hearts in true humility instead to him who has created us immaculate, like to himself, in power and in love. Listen, the power of decision is our own, and we accept of him that which we are, and humbly recognize the Son of God. To recognize God's Son implies as well that all self-concepts have been laid aside and recognized as false. Their arrogance has been perceived, and in humility, the radiance of God's Son, his gentleness, his perfect sinlessness, his Father's love, his right to heaven and release from hell are joyously accepted as our own. Let's look together just for a moment at what you term your conceptual identity. There can be no question that as you watch this video, in association with all the things that are around you, you believe in the value of your own conceptual identity. What I wanted to share with you is that at this moment of time and space, there is another you entirely available to you. Now, I appear to be instructing you, which could not mean that I am representing the other you, because in truth, there is only one of us. All right? What I want you to see in the idea of the instant reclamation of the entirety of your self-form within time and space, that at this instant, the power of decision is what you are. Not only is that true, but you know it, since all of the decisions you are making within that little conceptual self appear, okay, and are directed by you to justify your association of separation. Can you see this with me? No, my threat to you is obviously my certainty that as you conceive of yourself through the will of your need to be separate from eternal life, you are not true. Somewhere within that faculty of your conceptual self, you want and need me to acknowledge you. Yet if I acknowledge you, it must be to the uncertainty of who you are. Why should I acknowledge your uncertainty? I want to show you that it's possible for you to undergo an experience in the transformation of your conceptual self that will show you a whole you. Let's look together at that just for a moment. There, at that moment, was the emergence of who you are, all right? A refaculty of the illusion of the separation of our body form. Remember this idea that within the illusion at no single moment is the body that appears to represent you actually real? And I saw this defined in this little magazine, New Science, the idea that density is relative, and that actually your body is all space. The molecular association of your body is being held together just momentarily by the ideas of the illusion of your conceptual mind. Is that all right with you? Yet the reconfiguration of the entirety of that association cannot not be available to you because you are employing the power of your self-concepts to retain the separation that you believe is necessary to retain your identity until you annihilate yourself. And it's not true. Will you listen with me just for a moment to what would be pertinent in regard to your own self-concepts, how you feel about yourself right now? This would just last for a few minutes, but it's at a time and place where you might want to admit how a whole mind really looks at your own self-conception. Listen with me. This is all about you. The concept of yourself that now you hold would guarantee your function here remain forever unaccomplished and undone. And thus it dooms you to a bitter sense of deep depression and futility. Yet it need not be fixed unless you choose to hold it past the hope of change and keep it static and concealed within your mind. Give it instead to him who understands the changes that it needs to let it serve the function given you to bring your peace, that you may offer peace to have it yours. Alternatives are in your mind to use, and you can see yourself another way. Would you not rather look upon yourself as needed for salvation of the world instead of as salvation's enemy? Look. The concept of the self stands like a shield, a silent barricade before the truth, and hides it from your sight. All things you see are images because you look on them as through a barrier that dims your sight and warps your vision so that you behold nothing with clarity. The light is kept from everything you see. At most, you glimpse a shadow of what lies beyond. At least, you merely look on darkness and perceive the terrifying images that come from guilty thoughts and concepts born of fear. And what you see is hell, for fear is hell. All that is given you is for release. The sight, the vision, and the inner guide all lead you out of hell with those you love beside you and the universe with them. Behold your role within the universe. To every part of true creation has the Lord of love and life entrusted all salvation from the misery of hell. And to each one has he allowed the grace to be a savior to the holy ones especially entrusted to his care. And this he learns when first he looks upon one brother as he looks upon himself and sees the mirror of himself in him. Thus is the concept of himself laid by, for nothing stands between his sight and what he looks upon to judge what he beholds. And in this single vision does he see the face of Christ and understand he looks on everyone as he beholds this one. For there is light where darkness was before, and now the veil is lifted from his sight. Let's look together just for a moment at the incredible nature of the offering that is now present with you at this time and place and in this momentary association of your willingness to accept my instruction to you. My offering to you as a teacher of this Course in Miracles comes from a revelatory moment that I had in my mind, based first on my determination that the problem that I was experiencing within my own concepts could not give me the solution that I wanted. It went beyond that. I felt the entirety of the frustration of self-recognition, both in my successes and in my failures. Somewhere within me, okay, as there was in you, was a determination that there had to be an alternative to this little dark place that represented our life. And when we looked out at the billions of stars and the 12,000 million light years that represented the fabric of this apparent universe, it occurred to me and must still occur to you how very little we were here. And in that frustration was the solution, because I finally said there's got to be another way. This teaching, this Course in Miracles, is designed to enhance the possibility that you would accept an alternative to the self-concept, the identity of yourself that you have accepted as what you think you are. The certainty of my revelation can show you, through your revelation, if you let it, a re-imaging of yourself in body form that, as my Savior Jesus would say, will literally heal the sick and raise the dead. The lesson that the self-concept is contained within an individual mind and binds itself to a dark form is the nature of the message of the New Testament. Can you see that with me? What it says should be obvious to you now. It says that that self-concept, how dark the form of your identity of memory is holding you, okay, within the idea that you are a body. Now, what I'm offering you, okay, in my certainty of another world, is that right next to you at this moment is a variant continuum of time that represents the change in you that's actually going on all the time. If I can get you to use the changes that are inevitable in your idea of choice to verify within yourself that alternative, there's a whole nother world that you can see that's actually going on with you at this moment. You may call that a quantum mirage if you choose to. But most of you would be aware that within your own concepts, there is a relationship within the holographic identity of yourself, okay, that is in a variant disposition with the decisions that you have made within your own mind. In order to protect yourself from another solution, one different from the one that you have arrived at within your own concepts, you, in a literal sense, reject the alternative. Because somewhere, having formed a static condition of what you think you are within your own body concept, you hold it and need it for loss of the fear thereof. In a particular sense, this offering of atonement, this idea that there's a new you that's available to you, is frightening. Why is that so? You have adapted your conceptual mind to the idea that you have to remain in this little dark form. In a particular sense, some of you began to enjoy moments of revelation in the release of your self-defense there. The simple truth of the matter is, in a particular sense, you're afraid of the change that's inevitable in the realization that you can find the time and place where you simply could leave this little alcove of an infinitely small space in time that is actually over and gone. The world of your concepts was over and gone a long time ago. You're reliving the moment of apparent separation and justifying it within your own concept of yourself. Okay, the variations that would be obvious to you if you didn't feel the intense necessity to defend that identity based on what the world now tells you you have accomplished, you would see instantly that the power of decision that's available to you by far, okay, will encompass more than the little idea of who you are. And you egos who somehow suffer from the littleness that you believe is necessary in you and accord some other human condition out there a particular advantage over you based on his capacity to combat his own fear is entirely meaningless to any mind that will look at it. You have a tendency to take the idols of what you wish you were within your own mind, identify them objectively, and then attempt to justify within your own remorse, within your own grievance, within your own dissatisfaction of what you find yourself to be, the admission that you're going to have to suffer that and get old and die. I'm telling you, it's not true. Okay, remember, the concept of yourself that you hold is going to bind you to that. The expansion that you experienced just then within your own conscious identity of yourself, there's no one in this world or anywhere in the universe can take away from you because it's a self-recognition. All I've ever asked you to do, and I'm within your own conceptual mind now, is to realize the fullness and the wholeness of the love that we are sharing at this time and in this place, so you can see that for this moment that we remain, we can represent the entirety of the discovery that to give our self-identity is to recognize that our creating source only gives. The action of your mind in the releases of the defendants of that correspondence is as close as you can get to the natural creative nature of what you are. All right? Okay. I'm feeling the excitement of our recognition of each other. You know me perfectly well. I'm an historic reference within your own mind that helped you find the solution that you were actually looking for, but did not want to admit to me was not available as you had defined yourself. In your acceptance that it was not available to you, you immediately began to experience the alteration of our conceptual space form that was always available to you. Let's complete this lesson now that the power of decision is yours. Listen. Now do we join in glad acknowledgement that lies are false and only truth is true. We think of truth alone as we arise and we spend 5 minutes practicing its ways and encouraging our frightened minds with this. The power of decision is my own. This day I will accept myself as what my Father's will created me to be. Then will we wait in silence, giving up all self-deceptions, as we humbly ask ourselves that he reveal himself to us. And he who never left will come again to our awareness, grateful to restore his home to God as it was meant to be. In patience, wait for him throughout the day, and hourly invite him with the words with which the day began, including it with this same invitation to yourself. God's voice will answer, for he speaks for you and for your Father. He will substitute the peace of God for all your frantic thoughts, the truth of God for self-deceptions, and God's Son for your illusions of yourself. I hope this has been a joyous time for you. It has been for me, because in this time and place where I have evolved the certainty of who I am, you have allowed me to offer my uncompromising certainty of who you are to yourself. And in the recognition of the true you will be all of the love that we have shared for this last hour. Yes, the power of decision was yours, and if I have helped you at this time and place to that realization, I am fulfilling the function that I accepted as directed by my Savior, Jesus, who told me I would carry this message to you based on the certainty that occurred in my rebirth. I have been reborn in the recognition of my own Christhood. I offer it to you with the certainty that you did accept it, and that we in fact have left this place of pain and death. I am sharing with you a memory of the certainty that that occurred. Thank you for the privilege of being allowed to offer you this uncompromising certainty of the love and eternal life that we share. God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. Our lives are now eternal in that recognition of the entirety of who we are. We awaken from this dream of death and recognize ourselves in the eternal mind of God. God bless us, everyone.